Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Why, hello, friends. Welcome back to this week's Heart of Dating Select episode. Now, I've been brainstorming the very best ways to serve you in the season, and I realized something. We have some incredible content back throughout the last 3 years, and so many of you are brand new to Heart of Dating and have never even heard most of this content. So because of that, I wanted to give you a chance to listen to some episodes that I really think could help serve you right in this season. At the same time, if you're a Heart of Dating OG, you've been here for a while, guys, this can still be an epic refresher for you with some of our past content. So what I did was I went back through the Heart of Dating archives to bring back some episodes that are really going to serve you in this season. These episodes have been hand-selected by me, yours truly, which is why we call this series the Heart of Dating Select series. Also, as I was going through the archives, I saw a fun trend. A lot of our top episodes happen to be about things to do with the intersection of faith and mental health, featuring some of the epic doctors and experts we've had on the show. So, for this Heart of Dating Select series that will run for the next several weeks, you're going to get content that is going to help you be equipped to tackle things such as dating anxiety, trauma, attachment style, love languages, soul ties, codependency, love addiction, and so many other things. So friends, do not tune out these next few weeks. This content is going to truly and completely help you. On that note, you maybe have heard me say this before, but in today's age, I am so about therapy. Therapy is sexy. Yep, I do have a sweatshirt that says that. We sold that merch a few months ago. But I'm really serious about this, you guys. I am less concerned with seeing someone's credit score and more concerned with seeing the receipts from their latest therapist. Seriously, there's such a stigma about mental health, and I actually think it is really healthy and really sexy when somebody is interested in investing in themselves in that way. I've also dated far too many unhealthy people in the past, and even I myself have been toxic and unhealthy in some dating relationships. So now more than ever, I really value mental health and how that can partner with faith. You've probably heard me talk about it before, but I want to quickly answer about faithful counseling. The reason why is because it is an incredible service that I truly believe and know is going to help you. We've gotten such great feedback from literally hundreds of you guys who use this service. It's an affordable option to find a virtual Christian therapist. And for Heart of Dating listeners, you can get a 10% discount on your first month of Faithful Counseling when you sign up through the Heart of Dating by going to getfaithful.com/heartofdating. Hundreds of people in our community have tried it, and you should too. Now, on today's Heart of Dating Select episode, we are talking with a dear friend of mine and a man who I immensely admire. That's right, I'm talking to the absolutely amazing Mike Foster. Mike is such a wonderful human being, you guys. He's like the modern day Mr. Rogers. He really is. He's a best-selling author, speaker, and advocate for not-so-perfect people. He also has an incredible podcast called Fun Therapy, which I had the pleasure of being on during season 3 years ago. Mike has such a way of seeing people. He has such a way of connecting with them and making them just feel so understood and comfortable. He also has a book that he published with his wife, Jennifer, called 5 Dates. It's a his and hers workbook to help couples connect. I have to admit that I have personally used it and can honestly tell you that it has been so impactful in my dating life to foster gratitude, connection, and deeper understanding. I could not recommend it more. And not only that, it makes a great gift for some of your friends. All right, today, Mike and I dive into the topic of codependency. Many of y'all have been asking about this topic, and I have to admit, it's become a word and term that's almost overused or even used inaccurately in ways over the last few years. So get ready, because I really want you to understand what this term really means and how we can navigate it from a place of wholeness and health and really understanding what it is and how it plays out. In this episode, both Mike and I admit to being recovering codependents. Yep, I said it. So if you aren't sure what that really means, or if you want to know what the symptoms are about being a codependent and how to recognize those symptoms and then how to heal from them, you're going to love this conversation and find it so helpful for your life. All right, get ready, you guys. I'm so thankful for Mike. You're going to love this conversation, and I really think it's going to transform the ways you see yourself and others. Mike, I'm so excited to have you on today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me be here.
In your
I
house.
Always love talking with you.
Yeah, this is such a joy. You are our first, I think, Mike, you're our true first repeat guest on Heart of Dating, actually.
Oh my gosh, really?
So yeah, I didn't think I told you that.
I feel really honored right now.
We had someone else who was kind of on a group interview and then separately with his wife, but you are like our first solo repeat.
Well, that feels really good inside right now. My little heart's just warmed up. So thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. The last episode too, people keep reposting it. It was so awesome. And if you guys missed it, we talked about just connection and how to foster deeper connection with your, in your relationships. Mm. And you and your wife, Jennifer, have an amazing book called Five Dates. So we kind of talked about that.
Yes.
Maybe share a little bit what Five Dates is, just in case people didn't hear that episode.
Yeah, it's a workbook for couples, dating, engaged, married, and it's a five-step process where you go out on five dates and you work through five key topics that help bring connection to your relationship and togetherness to your relationship. I think the main sort of difference and approach for us in terms of how we write and create things is we make it really easy. It sets couples up to win. I think a lot of times relationship development tools can be either complicated or stir up a lot of negative things. They want you to work on your problems. And our whole angle is don't work on your problems, work on your togetherness. Build a positive foundation for your relationship. And most couples have chronic problems. I mean, it's just that's a part of being in relationship. And yet they can identify the problem, but they missed the really beautiful, wonderful things that actually exist in the relationship because there's a lot of good in the relationship too. But we try to pivot from couples focusing on problems to focusing on what's going right in the relationship and start there. Even if it's very simple things. So every relationship has a few things that are working and to build off of that.
And practicing gratefulness, actually, like that is so good. I think my stepmom sent me this quote. I don't know where it's from, but it was something along the lines of, it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy.
Yes.
And when we just focus on that, am I happy? Am I not happy? But what am I grateful for in my relationship with my partner? It can be so powerful when you sit back and you're like, well, for the last month, what did this person do? What am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. Or fostering that in the dates, you know? And so I love that.
I always say, you know, it's so easy to find the dirt in people, but it takes a little work to find the gold. But if you come at it from a point of view of gratitude, of appreciation, of thankfulness for my partner, you'll find gold there. And the problems tend to hijack the relationship, right?
Right.
Versus going like, hey, let's work on what's working. And it's kind of a shift, and it's been really popular, and it's really helped a lot of couples. We've had, you know, almost 20,000 couples do it this year.
That's amazing.
And I'm so grateful. And it's simple. You know, it's like, it's kind of built for guys too.
Yeah.
You know, like it's guy
like
friendly.
5-minute read. Yeah. Like it says all of
really
it. Like
easy.
Tells you how long it's
really
going to take.
Easy,
so. It's so fun. You can doodle. You can do little fun things. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And some other amazing things you're working on. So a few months ago, I was a part of the amazing Rescue Academy, which is such a pleasure that you hosted a few times a year, right?
Yeah, we do. I do about 5 or 6 here in San Diego where we live. And then I'll usually do about 5 or 6 private events across the country. Then that's where organizations will bring me in and do the teaching and the training there. And so, so cool. 2 days together, and we had, it was so wonderful having you there.
Oh, that class was so great. Like, everyone was so, it's such a great time. If anyone listening has the opportunity to go, definitely check it out. Where can they go to check it out?
Just rescueacademy.com.
Okay. Yeah. It's just incredible because you go through, there's 7 different series or I think something like this. I'm trying to remember.
You know, every training's a little bit different because we really try to, it's interactive.
Right.
It's not just me teaching the whole time so sometimes the students set the agenda in terms of what we talk about. And so we talk about all the way from couples counseling to shame to how our bodies need to be honored in terms of self-care, just how to be a good heart handler. That's what we teach people how to, like, whether you're coaching, counseling people, whether you're trying to help a friend, we literally just show you the best practices to do that. And I always tell people it's 50% leadership development, it's 50% personal development. And we do both.
And I definitely got a lot out of it on both sides.
Great.
And so one topic I like that we're going to dive into today that you brought up at Rescue Academy was the idea of codependency. And I will be honest, I think I heard the word a few times before the Rescue Academy, but when you said it and you kind of defined what that meant, and you even recommended some books to read on it. And I was like, I need to look at this because it sounds like I'm probably that, or I've had those tendencies in the past. And so over the last few months, I've definitely dove in and it's so eye-opening. And now I've realized, oh my gosh, more people, I'm a recovering codependent. Like, let me admit that. And I think a lot of people, more people are actually codependent than they realize as well. And so I think also when you add it into dating, and a lot of people have messaged when I've posted clips about this or any sort of quotes, they're like, wow, I can so relate to that. Mm. Where did you get this? What are you talking about? I'm like, well, this is this thing called codependency. And people don't want to admit that they maybe are, because it doesn't sound like a great word, right? Like, codependent, what does this mean?
Yes.
So can you maybe describe to us what it means? Like, what does this term codependent mean?
Yeah. Well, I have to confess too that I am a codependent. I'm in a 12-step group that meets a couple of times a month, and it's amazing how our relationships can be very much defined by codependency, and we don't even realize it.
Right.
And most of what's happening is it is our need, our deep desire and need to be loved and to be wanted, and that need drives us to do unhelpful or unhealthy things in our relationships. Mm. And so a codependent relationship is one where I need you to need me. I need you to love me. I need you to like me. Those themes and those ideas cause us to actually compromise ourselves. And so what happens is relationships, whether it's dating relationships, friendship relationships, family relationships, lots of codependency around family relationships.
Yeah.
We get our identity enmeshed in somebody else's identity.
Right.
And all of a sudden, their success and what they're doing is a direct reflection on my value.
Mm.
And so let me take a simple example. Yeah. Like a mom raising kids. Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
So those can become very codependent relationships because we want to see our kids succeed. We want them to thrive. We want them to be the best that they can be. And what we don't realize is that their performance, quote unquote performance, or their success, often becomes a direct reflection of how we parent and whether we're a good parent or not.
Right. Exactly.
And again, it's some external thing that is informing our personal value. And so what we just start getting in these relationships, start doing things, we start compromising ourselves. And then the relationship can be all kinds of levels of dysfunction around this. Okay. Yes. There's some codependent relationships that are just toxic, right?
Yeah.
And we certainly should talk about that. Those types of relationships. But there's also relationships that are just maybe kind of a low grade fever.
Yeah.
And there's kind of low codependency, but still we want to be recognizing that in terms of how we think, what we say. Codependency impacts our boundaries in a big way.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So, you know, most of us are at some level in some codependent relationships. And so talking about it, being aware of it, making some shifts in terms of how we interact with each other is really important. Family, dating, marriage, whatever it might be, whatever the relationship is.
And so what's interesting is this is where it's like, I wanted to do this episode to bring that awareness in some way, in whatever way I can, because we're not very aware of it. We're having these feelings, we're acting certain ways, and we don't really know that it's because of this almost like a desire to control someone. There's a lot of control element in it as well.
Yes. Which is a manifestation of fear. Control always comes from a fear. Like, I'm afraid, again, taking this parent, I'm afraid my kids might fail, so I begin to control them. Or I'm afraid this relationship might fail. So I start controlling them to make sure that we're working, you know, that this thing's going to work. And it's all around fear and really our own value, or just the sense of, are we enough?
The core of all of who we feel like we are. Are we enough? So, okay. And establishing some of like, what are some of the signs or patterns maybe? Like, what happens that maybe people can start recognizing, oh, wow, I'm doing that, or I'm that's a pattern I'm experiencing in my relationship, or those are some of the feelings I'm having, or what have you. Can you maybe identify some?
Well, you brought up one of the best ones is just controlling. Anytime we're trying to control or fix somebody, that is a codependent behavior where we need them to behave a certain way. We need them to do something in a particular way. Anytime we are looking to control somebody else, that is a codependent behavior. One of the things that we talk about in Rescue Academy is always use the question or a self-reflection question of is, do I care about the problem more than they care about the problem? And anytime that dynamic is where you're caring more about the problem than the individual is caring about the problem, then that's a codependent structure there. And so control for sure is controlling, fixing is just classic.
I think you can kind of almost blanket that with like, oh, well, I'm helping them, right? It's like this good deed of like, oh, but I'm helping them do X, Y, Z things. So that's noble, you know? I feel like at least knowing myself, that's what happens.
Well, and that's where, you know, the topic that we did talk about in the workshop is intention. In our intention when we are beginning this desire to help people, because helping people is a good thing, right? It's a good desire. It's honorable.
Yeah.
But if our intention is that I'm helping this person because I need to get something from this. And whether that mean like I feel safer now, or I feel better about myself now, or I look better now, like whatever, that intention is a codependent intention. It's okay to help people. Yeah. It's okay to give. It's okay to serve and love and try to help people. But we really have to check that intention part of like, why am I engaging in this work? And so often it's because we don't actually really want to help the person. We're operating from some emptiness or some deficiency or some fear that's living inside of our own heart.
So control is a huge one. What are maybe some other signs that someone might be codependent?
So compromising your own boundaries is a big one, where you sacrifice yourself on behalf of others. Now, one of the things that, anytime we're in overgiving or over responsibility areas, like it's okay to give, it's okay to take responsibility. What's not okay is when we overgive and we're actually crossing a boundary, like we're giving too much. That's again, you have to check your own heart. You have to go like
that's one, that one's hard. Yeah,
am I am I full access to this person? Like, this person can call me at 2 a.m. and that's okay.
I'll always answer.
Always answer. I'm always there. I'm always showing up. Mm. I'm always the first one in the, you know, when the emergency happens. Mm. You know, it's like that tends to be like over giving, and we're crossing and we're breaking our own boundaries. And so a lot of times what happens in these codependent relationships is we do overgive. We take too much responsibility for this person's health or this person's success or what have you. And what happens is that eventually leads to cynicism, anger, and it builds up to the point where don't they appreciate what I'm doing
for them? Yeah.
So if that phrase is rumbling around your head at all in terms of relation, why doesn't this person appreciate me more for what I'm doing for them? It's a classic sign that you are in a codependent. You are over giving here, and you need to stop. I'd just say, like, if you're feeling resentment, cynicism in the relationship, you're overgiving, over responsibility, controlling, fixing, breaking your own boundaries. Here's one that I see happen a lot with people is the unwillingness to say the truth. So if you're holding back words that you know are true, that you believe are true, that maybe represent your heart or your feelings about something, but you hold it back in order to protect them or the relationship. That's a codependent thing. Like, we need to, healthy relationships are relationships where you share from your heart.
Right.
Okay. And are not afraid to do that. Mm. Codependent relationships are, oh, I can't say that because that might hurt their feelings and might destabilize the relationship here.
Right. Because then in the end, that would affect them, that person. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, well, then it would be not as stable. And then I would feel unsafe, maybe. Yeah.
And a lot of times, again, you're basically saying this other person's needs are more important than your needs. Mm. This person's emotional state is more important than my emotional state. And we operate that way. And that's where the cynicism and anger and resentment builds up. Because that you can only do that for so long.
Right. So in codependency and recognizing all of those different, not triggers, but symptoms of codependency, what actually is happening, it seems that we hyper-focus on the other person's issues. And in turn, it drives ourselves down, right? Mm-hmm. And so it would seem that probably the plausible thing to do is somehow we need to separate ourselves from their issues and from the outcome of whatever their issues might be. So how can we do this? How can we practice detachment?
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, what you described there is exactly, I am not responsible for somebody else's outcomes. Mm-hmm. That's a very healthy, when you can say that, when you can just release, detach yourself from somebody's success or failure, mm-hmm. or whether they do the work or not do the work in their own lives, that's actually health. And, I'm a big believer in, you know, radical grace and compassion for people. And I love people and empathize and accept people. But I cannot do other people's work for them. Mm. I expect them to do that. And so I'm a big champion of radical ownership.
Right.
Radical responsibility. Yeah. And so a lot of times our love for people, what seems love is really we're just enabling them to continue in poor behavior, whatever it might be, destructive behavior, dysfunctional behavior, allowing them to treat us a particular way because I think one of the things that for me, I was such a people pleaser, I just wanted to be liked. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted to be a part of something, and I didn't want to mess that up. Mm. And this is sort of why I'm in a code of 12 step is that this is ingrained in my DNA. It's how I approach the world. And most of this stuff starts from early childhood, families that we grew up with, the traumas that we've experienced, the rejection, the hurt. all of that causes us to begin to operate in codependent ways.
Right.
And so for me, one of the things that happened in my relationships was I lost my voice. Hmm. Other people's voice was way more important than what I had to say. Hmm. Other people's needs were way more important than Mike Foster's needs. Hmm. And one of the things that came from all of that is just this deep, deep level of exhaustion.
Right.
Like, this is not a way to live. This is not a way to do relationships. And so, you know, as I put myself more on a path of like, I can love you, and I do. I love people. I want the best for people. I care deeply about people. But I refuse to take responsibility for their life. Because when I do, I just compromise who I am at that point. I also know that it's not sustainable in my life. And I know I'm slipping back into my codependent, people-pleasing, just scared that I might be kicked out of the party. Yeah. So I'm going to be the yes man or the yes woman. And so getting reflective on that and realizing that this isn't sort of like, it is kind of a, you know, it feels like a negative thing, but it's actually a thing that when we talk about codependence, we actually need to have a lot of compassion for it because we're just trying to survive.
Right.
We're just trying to meet some of the deepest needs inside of us through these behaviors and through these structures that we put in place in terms of our relationships.
And so I love this term radical ownership, because it's like, and I remember something you said is like, you also have to be okay with being misunderstood sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so if you say, you know, if it's coming from a true place in your heart, not like, oh, well, okay, I didn't mean that. And because they took it a specific way.
Yes.
I think that happens a lot in relationship. I also say that now to people when dealing with breakups, as long as you're coming to the table with so much grace and love and kindness, and speaking truth and love, you can't be responsible for how they receive the information.
No.
So tell us some of the ways that we can practice better radical ownership in our life, like taking ownership of like, if I'm feeling this way, what is going on in me? How can I take ownership of how I'm actually feeling instead of being like, well, you are making me this way.
Yes.
Right.
Well, anytime we are pointing to somebody else as the reason for my emotional state or for the reason why my life is in this particular state or place, that is a disempowering position or place that we're putting ourselves in. The thing that I love about radical ownership and radical responsibility is like, I have 100% say in what happens in my life. I always tell people, and they don't necessarily like to hear this, but I say, you are ridiculously in charge of your own life. Like, you could bring a thousand different situations that will say like, no, I'm not in charge of my own life. And basically we could unpack that and go like, no, you still have a decision. You still have the decision here.
Yeah.
Now listen, there are things that maybe health issues and certain things that sometimes there are certain dynamics, but for the most part, you are ridiculously in charge of your own life. And so I would like to show for me, I am so, it's so easy for me to give over power. It feels good for like a moment. It feels like blame is, you know, Brene Brown says, you know, blame is a quick way to discharge our pain.
Right.
But it doesn't solve our pain. It doesn't heal our pain. It doesn't actually improve the situation. It just temporarily fixes it. So anytime I can move into ownership, anytime like, you know what, I'm not, it's forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is a great sort of radical ownership thing, because forgiveness is not about the other person. It's actually about you. I'm releasing myself to actually move on. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what this person did or them making amends or them, you know, saying they're sorry. It's like, no, I'm making the decision over here to forgive for me.
Right.
So that's an empowering thing for me. And so looking at your life and figuring these areas of like, where am I giving away power? Where am I giving away responsibility? And we're doing that a lot. I mean, we can blame our boss. We can blame the government. We can blame our parents. Like, blame her. We can blame that comment on Twitter, Facebook, like all these things. And it's like, you're giving away power. You're disempowering mm-hmm. yourself in that. But so I like to say, you know, just look for ways to take it back. Mm-hmm. And codependency is a great, like, again, you're giving away power to another person. Mm-hmm. Their success or their life is more important than your life. And I just don't, I think looking for those dynamics,
yeah.
those habits, those thoughts that we feel good and we're actually really comfortable with. Yeah. The thing about my codependent brain is it actually makes a lot of sense. Mm. And I can justify it all day long. Like, oh, this is what Jesus would do, or this is the nice thing to do, or but really it's like it's all coming from a lot of darkness and a lot of the trauma and the pain in my life. And it's like no, I need to think clearly about this. Mm. I don't have to live this way, or I don't, you know, if you're caught in drama, constant drama in relationships, it's like that is your choice. Mm. And so you know, to empower and take radical responsibility and ownership of your life actually says you are healthy.
All right, you guys, I have to be honest about something. One of the most dreaded things I've had to face as a single woman is my finances. Prior to starting the Heart of Dating, I actually used to work in fashion and lived in New York City, of all places. Now, I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I racked up a lot of debt during those years of being a fashion mogul. And honestly, I used to dread looking at my credit card statement every month. Do you feel me? Well, if you do, I don't blame you. Interest rates make it hard to pay off your debt. And I know that with COVID, it's added to that for so many people as well. But here's the deal. One of the most attractive things we can do in our singleness is work on getting our finances in order. Am I right? Or am I right? You guys, financial wisdom is really attractive. It just is. And I want to help you with that today by introducing you to Upstart. Upstart can lift the dreaded weight of debt off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being free of credit card debt. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off all your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're paying credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and your employment history. This means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. So listen, my friends, I want to help you take some of the pressure off in your singleness. This is the time to start getting your finances in order right now without stressing over it to the nth degree. You can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/heartofdating. That's upstart.com/heartofdating. It's really important, you guys, that you don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. You can go to upstart.com/heartofdating today. Something you brought up like right before this was just the self-sacrifice in this. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to romantic relationships, we're giving away power, right? And when we're codependent, what is the balance? Because when you're in a romantic relationship, what I often find is there has to be a level of self-sacrifice too. There is a yes. level of that. And what I often find, it's hard to find the balance of being sacrificial, practicing sacrificial love, but also creating boundaries, also still taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think most couples, myself included, mess up the most. Like I'm overgiving, but then I'm overgiving with an expectation potentially. Mm-hmm. Or how do I know, like, is this a situation where I do just kind of have to lay down my needs for this other person? Like, how do we balance that in relationship? Because getting into the thick of relationships, I find that this is like what trips people up sometimes the most.
Yeah. So in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to have two healthy people. It's just kind of a common sense thing. But I always encourage people in terms of marriage, dating, whatever, that you working on yourself and you making sure that you're practicing self-care, that you're having your needs be spoken about in the conversation with your partner, you doing things for you, that actually is an investment into your relationship, because you're like, if I'm healthy, I'm going to be able to participate in a healthy relationship. If I'm unhealthy, I'm codependent in this relationship, that's not going to end well.
Yeah.
For both of you. And so, giving, sacrificing, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of who we are and what we should be doing in our relationships. But giving from an overflow, giving from health, giving from a place of real love and not codependent love.
Right.
That's the type of giving and sacrificing that we need to be a part of.
Oh my gosh. It's just making me personally reflect right now. Like, how many times do I actually act out of codependent love versus real love? Like, if I'm being honest with myself, I can say, oh, my intentions are good. But then when I really dive in, sometimes you're like, actually, was my true intention of saying that or doing that because I actually wanted something from that person? Mm-hmm. Or because if they do that, then I'll benefit from it in the end. And it's a fascinating, like, really getting into, and what I know you say this all the time, but I try to practice, like, being curious with myself. Like, why is that happening? Why is my brain going to those defaults? Am I actually being manipulative right now? Where am I not getting my needs met, but I'm forcing this other person to meet those needs? And how can I maybe do that on my own? How can I practice more self-care? How can I connect more with God? And being curious with yourselves, because obviously sometimes when we're not, we're just like, oh, I need that other person to fill all these voids in my life. I need them to do that. I'm not even going to think about where it's coming from. I just know my needs are being met, or I feel this specific way. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put it on the other person to do everything.
And that's again, a very disempowering. That's sort of blaming. Right. It's giving the responsibility to somebody else. And that's, it just never ends well. And I think if we can just, to your point, be more curious about why am I doing this? Or why am I tolerating this? Why am I holding these words back in the relationship? Why am I holding these needs? Why am I not willing to talk about these particular needs with my partner or my spouse or my girlfriend or boyfriend? Like, why are you unwilling? And that type of reflection or that type of curiosity is actually where we can begin to move towards the freedom from codependency.
Yeah.
We get most of this stuff, by the way, is happening in a unconscious place. It's become so ingrained in who we are, how we do things, how we interact, that we're actually quite unaware of what we're doing.
Right.
And so that compassionate curiosity about, like, why did I feel the need to pick up that phone call when I didn't want to pick up that phone call from my friend who was calling at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, why do you feel that pressure? Why did I, in that small moment, say that thing so people would like me in that moment versus saying what was true or what I was really feeling in that moment? You know, those kinds of questions and that type of I always say curiosity, it's not an interrogation. Yeah. It's not a judgmental thing of yourself. Right. We don't need more judgment or shame on ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I wonder why, or isn't that interesting? Mm. And that's a better position of actually discovering some of the codependent behaviors that we're in.
And then we can create, once we've identified it, then we can say, okay, well, how can I heal from this? Mm-hmm. Or how can I create better boundaries? It, like, gives you the empowerment. So I say, like, that's a huge step in this process. Like, figure out why, be curious with yourself. Like, why are you feeling that way? Why are you acting that way? Why are you so overly invested on the performance or what that other person's doing?
And honestly, to me, the why, and let's always start here. Mm-hmm. The why is, I want to be loved. Mm. That is the deepest need in every single one of us. I want to be loved. And so codependency is just a framework and a system that helps us feel loved. Mm. Unfortunately, it's a very destructive system. It's a system that has a lot of downside to it. Mm. But just And again, this is the compassion towards ourselves. We do these things, or maybe you've been in a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship, or becoming an enabler in an addictive relationship. It is all driven by just our desire to be loved. I mean, it's just the most simple root of everything. And so getting curious about where am I not being loved, or where do I not feel love, or where are the deficiencies of love in my life, and for us to begin to work on those things and orient around those things will help break the chains of codependency.
That's so beautiful. Figure out which areas, how can we find more love in our life? Mm-hmm. How can we actually embrace that? And where are we lacking in it? What will actually fill that most, like understanding God's love? Mm. Usually in my life, the biggest times of brokenness have been, okay, do I really understand God's love? Like, do I actually know what that, I mean, I can say like, God loves me, God is love, like amazing. But what does that really mean for us? How do we actually experience that? That's been hugely helpful for me, even in this process of analyzing the codependency. Okay. So in this, there's one thing that we get a lot of questions from people. They write in so many amazing things. And one question I see popping up over and over again is being spiritually equally yoked. Okay. And in this scenario, a lot of partners write into me being like, I feel like I'm spiritually further along than my partner. Right. And they want to get their partner to go to church more or pray more or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And people write this to me all the time. And while being equally yoked is important, right? How can we sometimes end up forcing or controlling these situations, right? Which is more codependent, but you still want the outcome of being equally yoked. So I'm just like, it's hard for me even to know exactly how to respond to people when they write this in, but how do we navigate those situations where someone might be growing, which is amazing, but they might not look like what that partner actually wants at this moment in time?
Yes. This may not be a popular statement that I'm about to make, but I'll go ahead and make it.
Okay.
I'll divorce myself of being liked right now.
Be okay being misunderstood?
Yes, I'm be quite all right to be misunderstood here. But religious people are the most codependent people I've ever met.
Mm.
And it is all sort of tied up in this spirituality, religion, theology that actually leads to very, very codependent behaviors on our part.
Yeah,
I always think about, and then we talked about this in Rescue Academy. He's like, we love the idea of Jesus dying on the cross and the sacrifice that he made. And that's sort of our model for how we are going to do our lives and our relationships and how we're going to serve the world. And that is an amazing picture of sacrifice. But number one, I'm not Jesus. You're not Jesus. And number two, we so easily dismiss all the other things that Jesus did to actually take care of himself,
right,
and to allow people to make their own choices about their lives. Yeah. I always love the story in the scriptures about the man who was an invalid and a cripple at the healing pool in John 5.
So
and Jesus just asked him, like, do you want to get well?
Do you want to get well? Yeah.
And he was never forcing somebody to, like, he says, like, do you want to take ownership of your life is basically what he's saying. But there was no force. There's no manipulation. There was no, like, I got to get this guy has to walk. That's what's got to happen here.
I'm going to make him see that he wants to walk.
So
I'm going to convince him.
So like the religious stuff really can infiltrate how we do relationship in a negative way. And so, again, getting curious about why do I believe the things that I believe? Like, why do I need this person. Now, I understand the Bible says that. Mm-hmm. The Bible says a lot of things, by the way.
There's
lots of things in the Bible. Some things I like, some things I really lock into, and it's got to be like, this has to happen. Like this.
And some things I'm like, I'm just going to graze
over. Yeah, that one, not so important. So like, let's just get curious about like, why are we so attached to a particular concept around, you know, equally yoked or whatever the theological idea is. And I do believe, like, I'm a big believer in like spirituality and how, you know, being aligned in those things actually play a big role. Yeah. But trying to fix or manipulate or get somebody to do something spiritually is still codependent.
Yeah. It's like, I have a good intention though. Like the Bible says this, and this is what we should be doing.
Right.
That's how we can say it. It's like, totally. But this is what the Bible says. Oh my gosh. I've heard that so many times.
Yes. And that's,
I've probably used it many times as well.
And that's the intention. That's where we have to see, like, I could say, hey, the Bible says this, and I'm not sure how we all of a sudden got onto talking theology like this, but it's like, the Bible says this. Yes, it does say that. But why am I doing that? Am I doing that because I need God to think that I'm doing what the Bible says? Am I doing it because I need God to love me or like me or think that I'm a good Christian or whatever?
Right.
Like that I'm following the rules. Like, again,
or I care about everybody else thinking that I'm the perfect model Christian.
Exactly. All of that. So it's just like, I know the Bible says those things, and we love our Bible. We do. I do. Kate does.
Yes.
But like, we let's get a little bit more curious about why we're leaning on certain things about what the Bible tells us to do, and especially in relationships, especially in friendships. You know, why are we engaging in certain things with people? It can't just be because the Bible says, like,
right.
It's got to be a little bit more, it's got to be more expansive than that.
I completely agree. And this is why it's like, okay, I understand. It's so hard for me to address these things with people. I'm like, all right, that's why we're having this conversation. Yeah. 'Cause like, I don't know all the answers ever. And it's about, and it comes off with really good intention, but it's just like, I don't know. I think
seemingly good intentions.
Yeah. Yes. Work on yourself. Don't force the other person in any way. Yeah. Like I guess that's like, we can only be radically owning what we're doing. And yes. If I want spiritual growth, then I have to be focusing on my own spiritual growth, not the other person's. What I do always say in this is like, obviously if the person is not someone who wants to grow in any way, that's a red flag. Of course.
Of course. Then,
yes. If they never want to spiritually grow, if they never want to grow as an individual, they don't have a teachable spirit, yes, you should end that, most likely. That's probably not good.
I think anybody who's unwilling to do the work of growth, of learning, you know, whether it be about spiritual things, things about themselves, things about their life, don't be involved in a relationship of a person who's not looking to grow and isn't open to, but the problem is we have these timetables, we have these expectations of what growth should look like. And that's where it gets really messy.
Yeah. When you're like, oh, but this is what I wanted you to do. And this is the amount of time I want it to be done in 30 days. And you're just like dragging your feet. So I'm going to continuously remind you, hey, about that thing.
Yes.
Oh man, I'm speaking from personal experience right here, Mike. This is a really tough thing.
Yeah, if you have this really clear picture in your head about how this all is supposed to go with this particular person, whether it's about their spiritual development or their personal development or how they should react, how they should not react. Like, if you got a really clear picture, like, this is what it's got to look like, that's codependency. Like,
it's control.
That's control.
That's like exactly it. Oh my gosh, I'm laughing because I'm sure so many people, including myself, can relate to this. I know you can. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's describing so much of the conversations I have personally with people too. It's like, but I want my boyfriend to do this, but he's not doing it. And then it constantly comes up, and then he most likely feels like a failure because I'm bringing it up again. But like, I'm hyper-focusing on it and I'm thinking about it every single day. But why isn't he thinking about it? He's telling me on his day off that he's doing this, but I think that he should really be thinking about this. Why? I brought it up so many times. It's like literally a conversation I had recently with someone.
Yeah. Those are really normal conversations that and happen all the time. And what we should be asking ourselves is not like, why are they doing this thing? Or why are they acting this way? It's like, the better question is, why am I responding to their actions or activities or what they're saying in this way? Mm-hmm. I get more, that's a much more important project than trying to get them to do something else. Like, why do I get so angry when they do this little habit? Mm-hmm. Why did I get so stressed when they don't behave a particular way? That's when we start leaning into ownership. That's our own development and a much more healthy project to be involved in than trying to fix somebody.
Okay. So on this exact point, there's a quote I want to read because I think it fully ties in, and it's from the book Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. Oh, such a good book on this topic. So she says, and this one hit me when I just like so much of that book I have highlighted and underlined, but this one I was like, gosh, yeah, this needs to be said. But she says, sometimes no human being could be there for us the way we need them to be, to absorb us, care for us, and make us feel good, complete, and safe. Sometimes no human being could ever do that. And because of that, it's like we have to learn how to take care of ourselves, which we've touched on, and how to address our own insecurities. So how can we deal with our insecurities, do you think? Like, how do we do that? Because we project it in relationships. Yeah. We expect other people to take care of our insecurities.
Yeah. Well, all of it. And I love that quote because it summarizes that all of it for us to be happy. It's, and to be fulfilled and to feel loved. It's an inside job. Hmm. It's not based on external things. It's not based on people loving us or needing us or helping them or sacrificing for them. It's all internal. So to your question about how do we deal with our insecurities, welcome them. Right. That's scary. Probably the first part. Yeah. It's like, you know what? I feel insecure. I give you an example literally from yesterday. So my wife and I are laying in bed, and it's been like an interesting season of change for me, and there's a lot of instability in kind of my life right now. I'm sitting in bed, I'm like, I want to tell Jennifer that I'm feeling sad. That was the word that was just like, I'm feeling sad, and I want her to know that. But I literally laid in bed for about 20 minutes having this internal dialogue about not telling my wife that because I didn't want her to think I was weak, or I didn't want her to think that, or I didn't know how she would respond. Like, would I feel comforted by her like in that? Like, if I shared that, would she respond in like kindness or compassion, or would she like kind of like, well, what are we doing today? You know, kind of, are we going to breakfast kind of thing? Or, you know, so, and that wouldn't be how I would want her to respond. I played this scenario through my brain for 20 minutes.
Like, I'm only going to say it if she responds this way.
Yeah. And just trying to control the outcomes, trying to control perceptions, I didn't want to be sad. I wanted to be happy, or I wanted to be, you know, encouraging, or whatever the other emotion that I could think of I'd rather be. But after battling for 20 minutes in my head, I just said it, and it went so well. And it wasn't, what I realized is that wasn't about her.
Yeah.
It wasn't, what was important was about me getting those words out. Mm. And so for us, just like, say, it's okay to battle in your mind for 20 minutes about saying something because you feel insecure or afraid, or you're wanting to control something. That's pretty normal. Mm. But the way we grow and the way that we push past the insecurities and how we quiet the insecurities is actually the action and activity of pushing through those. Mm. Feels like a very small thing. Like, that's like telling my wife, who I've been married to for 23 years, that I was sad. Mm. That was a big deal, but I did it for my own growth. I did it for my own heart. And codependency told me not to say that. Fear told me not to say that. Insecurity, people pleasing told me not to say that. I'm like, no, this is my state of mind right now. And I think this person who I know loves me, who cares about me, needs to know this. And so I always say, like, anytime we're afraid, it's engaging your body, engaging your voice, engaging another human being, just to like, and not say like, I need this human being to respond a certain way or do something. It's just like, I need to bring them in. The transparency and vulnerability begins to help get rid of the insecurities. And actually it helps us understand that I'm okay. When I said that and said that to her, I felt better. And I didn't say it to feel better. I said it because I knew that was just an important part of life and overcoming this insecurity and this fear that I had. But we realize, as we talk about our codependencies, we talk about our fears, as we talk about our insecurities, as we talk about our shame, as we talk about our past, parts of our stories that we don't want to talk about, what happens is we learn that we're actually okay as we are. And it actually allows love to come into our hearts, not through an external force, not through some external environment or thing. It actually just expands because we're tapping into who we really are. And that's why I just pursue health, pursue love, pursue compassion for yourself. If you're like beating yourself up over some relationship that you've been in, or some codependent toxic thing that you've been demonstrating or saying or doing, and you're just like, it's okay to just have a reset and to say, okay, like, I know why I'm doing this. Let's get back to cultivating love in our lives.
So much of that too is like forgiving yourself and having grace for yourself. We've talked about this before too. And so I know I have to practice that a lot. Like, okay, what's really happening is I'm insecure because I don't really have grace for myself about how I did something or what I'm feeling, and I can have grace for myself.
Yeah. I always tell people that being a human being is hard. And we should never forget that. It's hard being a human being. And every day we're learning and growing and discovering something new and wonderful about ourselves, and we're also discovering something that's broken and messy in ourselves, and that's called being a human being.
Mike, this is amazing. Thank you for just sharing your heart on this topic, and thank you for being vulnerable. I'm so excited for how this just kind of opening people's eyes to what codependency is, how it might play out, can start hopefully the process of recognizing, hey, it's okay. A lot of people, both you and I included, are admitting like this happens to a lot of people. If you're in a relationship right now that this is present, there are ways to work on it. If you've noticed those tendencies in the past, there's ways to work on it. Just like you said, there's no shame about it, but it's the recognizing it and allowing yourselves to like state the insecurity and embrace it and grow from it. Okay, so I ask every guest the same last question that I'm going to ask you right now, which is, do you have any final, and you know this because we've done this before, right? This is not new.
No, I'm like, I'm the only guest that's been on twice.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so what is your final nugget of dating advice? This is so funny too, because now people ask me, what's your final nugget of dating advice, Kate? I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to ask you right now though.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I would just say the best dating advice I can give is to do dating and do relationships with a posture of open hands, a sense of I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry, that I can literally just live a life of surrender, and my hands are open. I don't have to grasp. I don't have to clutch. I don't have to control. And I think anytime we're doing that in our relationships, good things will happen.
I couldn't agree more. Mike, if people want to connect with you after today and get involved with what you're doing, you're so inspired. I love your Instagram posts. They're so amazing. Oh. Everyone should go follow Mike. How did they connect with you?
So probably Instagram, like, Instagram, of course, right? Yeah, well, yeah. I'm just Mike Foster 2000 on Instagram, which I hate that I'm the 2000.
What
Mike
is
Foster.
It with the 2000? What?
You know, it's, somebody else had Mike Foster. And so I don't even know how it's the lamest Instagram name
no,
ever.
No, it's not. Like 2000. All right.
2000. Yes. but probably if you go into my website, Mike Foster TV, I don't even have a television show. Again, it was hard to get my name. I can't get MikeFoster.com. Yeah. So, but yeah, MikeFoster.tv. It has the workshop there that we were referring to for Rescue Academy. You can learn more about that. Also has links to my podcast, Fun Therapy.
Yes, of course.
Which you are on now. Yes! Which, yes.
I can't believe that. Oh, what a good conversation. Oh, man. What a blessing.
That was a great conversation.
Talk about allowing your insecurities just out, you know? Like, oh my gosh.
Seriously, we were talking about this before we started recording and one of my top favorite conversations ever. So,
thank you.
Fun Therapy podcast, Rescue Academy workshop, and all that's at MikeFoster.tv.
Mike, you're so amazing. Oh, love you, friend.
You too, my friend.
Thank you so much for today. Thank you for having me in your home, for blessing us with this conversation.
Well, thanks, Kate.
All right, my friends, I hope you enjoyed hearing from today's incredible expert. There are a lot of stigmas around mental health, and I hope that with this Heart of Dating Select series, we can begin to break those stigmas. There is truly no shame in needing to work on yourself or get help. And even more so, I think it is actually the wise thing to do to admit that you can't do it alone and you need to talk to someone. Last thing I want to say here. If you want to stay connected with us, come over and join the party on Instagram at Heart of Dating and at Kateness. We have tons of new, helpful, and fun content up there each and every week just for you. And then lastly, if you want to get more connected with others in this Heart of Dating community, make sure to check out our private Facebook community at facebook.com/heartofdating. In this community, we have upwards of 6,000 singles doing life together each and every week, so make sure to check it out there. All right, y'all, that's it for today's Heart of Dating Select episode. I will see you next week.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.